AM and 96.9 FM, live and local. This is the Morning Primetime Newsmaker.
The Newsmaker segment today is brought to you by MRSK Buildings, constructing all kinds of buildings, from shops and garages to equipment storage, livestock facilities, and barn homes. MRSK Buildings, where their business is your building. Call Jeff Hodges, 620-340-7732.
If you've been thinking about adding a building to your property, let MRSK Buildings help you every step of the way. MRSK Buildings is your stud frame and post frame building headquarters. At MRSK Buildings, they construct all types of buildings, from shops and garages to equipment storage, livestock facilities, and barn homes. At MRSK Buildings, their business is your building. Call Jeff Hodges at 340-7732 or visit 2604 West Highway 50 across from Bluestem.
Value them both KVU does not make abortion illegal and imposes safety.
I think I hit the wrong button, as a matter of fact, so don't touch that. All right, KVU News Time is now 7:23, Newsmaker Time here on a Thursday. We're pleased to have with us School Superintendent Allison Anderson-Harder with USD 253 Emporia. Allison, good morning. How are you today?
Good morning, Chuck. I'm great. How are you doing?
Good.
Good.
Well, as Ron mentioned here shortly before the top of the hour, it's been quite the eventful month for USD 253 Emporia. And we can start our conversation in a number of different ways here when it comes to staffing, budgetary matters, and enrollment. But I wanted to start here with the staffing situation that's unfolded here since May. District here before the special meetings that took place last week mentioned a staffing crisis. And I wanted to give you a chance here to just tell us how things got to staffing crisis levels as quickly as they did.
Yep, absolutely. And that was something that other districts are dealing with as well. And we have just been really fortunate in Emporia that we have a great pipeline. And so I'm going to back up even further to when we started having to do staffing reductions, because going back to the late 2020 school year and into the 2021 school year, we started doing budget study sessions. So really looking at where we were at with our budget, and really that had been overspent. And so we worked with Kansas Association of School Boards, had them come in to analyze our staffing, and immediately they came in and said, you are way overstaffed with the enrollment that you have. So school districts and school finance is very complicated, so it's often difficult, as well as Rob Scheib does to just a good job as far as breaking it down and making it very concrete, sequential, understandable. It's still really confusing. But we were at a point where we have the headcount. That's how schools typically get their the funding to support staff, and staffing is 90% of our budget. We also get some other weightings with bilingual and at risk, but that has also been changing a little bit, and we've been, it's a good thing. It's a good thing for our families that we are decreasing in at risk numbers, because that means that their wages are going up and they're not qualifying. But then we also had free lunches, so universal free lunches. So that was, we had to be very creative about how do we still get that information. And so that's when we started doing that household economic survey and then offering a device for families who are enrolling early. So I'm kind of going back, but all of this plays into how we got to this point. So we had reductions for this past school year. We had reduced 8.5 positions, and every building basically pitched in. And part of the reason we were being conservative is that we didn't know what our enrollment was going to be for this last school year. So it could have just mushroomed after COVID, because we were coming out of hybrid and remote, and then we were going to have all students on site this last school year. So enrollment really stayed where the trend was predicting us, and so we didn't have a big mushroom like we could have. And ideally, when we were looking at our reductions for staffing, we really wanted to implement this over a 3-year process. When we were looking again at our budget, we had very little. When we look at the 1920 school year, we had about 3% carryover for our funds, which the state really recommends anywhere from about 12% to just right below 15%. So we were a long ways away from where we should be, and that if we would have had something that was pretty significant happen to the district, that could have impacted the district very negatively. So after looking at our numbers, after looking at our staffing, we had a lot of conversations with principals. We were having listening tours. We were being as transparent as we could, just all of the information as far as the number that we needed to reduce. And primarily, we were looking at the elementary schools because that's where we were seeing the decline in enrollment. And there were a number of factors that played into that. Primarily, families are having smaller family size. They're just not having as many children as they have in the past. The other factor that we've learned has been childcare. Childcare is very expensive. It's hard to come by. There are families who have one child, wait until their oldest gets into school, and then they have the other one. So, and that just isn't what we've seen in the past. And Dr. Cargilla has been, as I mentioned at the board meeting, been sounding the alarm for some time that we had declining enrollments. And I will just tell you my personal experience as a principal, when it looks like all of your classes are full, it feels like all your classes are full, and you're looking at how many sections we really need to be as productive as possible, and we want to keep our class sizes as low as possible and manageable, then it didn't feel like enrollment was declining. But in reality, it really was. So we really looked at our enrollment at the elementary level, and we looked at staffing. So we looked at 38 positions, and we're also being very strategic about the ESSER's money, which is from COVID and federal money. We've been cautioned from the state and at the federal level to be very careful about how we use ESSER money. We don't want to put that into positions that we have existing, because if we, after that, those 3 years are gone, and then we don't have ESSER's money anymore, then we wouldn't be able to replace those positions because it would be supplanting with federal funds. So that's something that we have to be very careful about with special education, for example. This was what they were talking about with ESSER's. So as we were reducing, Dr. Kemp, who was the director of HR at the time, worked very closely with the principals. We had a lot of conversations about what makes sense. Principals worked with their building leadership teams. What made sense for every building? So where should the reductions happen? And again, protecting our classroom teacher positions. So our goal was by spring break of March, this last March, and we were in a really great place at that time. We had one school that was still overstaffed, but then we were working through that. And we also had talked with staff that if we had one building that had more resignations or retirements, because we were doing all of this through natural attrition as people were retiring and resigning rather than filling those positions, we just weren't. But then we were being very, again, strategic about looking at what positions that we really wanted to keep. And those, ideally, are our classroom positions that we have the sections that keep classroom sizes manageable, and then also our strategists that provide instruction to our needier students as far as in reading. So the strategists are typically experienced teachers. They're always teachers, but they're typically experienced. And then they work with students who are struggling with some of those skills with reading. So that was really important that we keep our strategists as well, and that was another conversation. So as we continued through March and then early April, we were in a great spot. We were exactly where we needed to be. Now, we still had Dr. Kemp. He was still going to career fairs because we knew that we could go down below that number that we really needed, so we wanted to be in a position that we could hire. So he was still doing that. Principals were still looking. Principals were still recruiting. And then we had late resignations, April, May, and then in June. So those 3 months really hit us. And what was difficult is that, like I said, other districts are going through this as well, and so everybody's scrambling for teachers. So that's how we ended up in this position. And so as we were we had a transition from Dr. Kemp moving on to a superintendent position in another district, and Mr. Jared Giffen was coming in as the director of HR. He was coming in, and so he was picking that ball up, and actually there was some overlap there as he was helping in June. And then we've been recruiting. We had the job fair. We just weren't getting the applicants that we needed. And we've been also working with Emporia State University, who is a great partner, being creative. And we've also looked at, so we've been looking at alternate tracks as well. So individuals who have a bachelor's degree in pretty much any subject area, any content area, can become a teacher on a waiver. And so Kansas State Department of Education and their licensure department has been a partner with districts. They've also been seeing that. So they have been, the cogs seem to move very slowly, and we get a little frustrated with that. But we have been taking advantage of that as well. And we saw that early on in special education. So it was hitting special education before it started hitting regular education. And now that's where we're at in education in general. And COVID had a huge impact on that.
As far as the resignations go, they were significant in, what, April and May and June? How many are we talking about? I mean, as far as the numbers you had to deal with at that point.
Well, Ron, I should have brought those numbers with me. I have those. Sorry.
Ballpark it. I mean, it's fine.
Ballpark it. I believe we had around 40, if I remember correctly.
That sounds about right.
Yeah, and that's significant, obviously.
Oh, absolutely. It just was something that, and the other thing we've been, that I say we, education across the state, across the nation, has been seeing that educators are leaving the field of education. It's just, it is something that we saw during COVID, and that really education has dealt with previously, is that they take on a lot. That there's a lot of criticism with educators if things aren't going exactly the way that people want them to go. Education, and education even within the profession, can tend to point fingers. We've talked about we don't need secondary educators to be pointing their fingers at elementary about not teaching, not knowing what has been going on. Because when they have students who are coming in who are missing some skills, there's a lot of factors that play into that. So we've done better as a district talking about how do we, I mean, that's vertical alignment, so it's coming sure. from the pre-K all the way up through the 12th grade. How do we work more intentionally, and how do we work together and partner? And there's been a greater understanding that as far as how do we address the skills of the students. So a math resource that we adopted, that was a pre-K through 12th grade, making sure that we have that consistency, because that wasn't something we really looked at before.
Does the district do like an exit interview process with teachers? I know that's come up here in a number of different circles, and if so, has that started yielding any results as to why teachers are leaving? Is it kind of what you said, you know, it's just kind of the general atmosphere, or are there some specifics that need to be addressed?
Absolutely. We have done exit interviews for as long as I can remember, and really it's a voluntary basis. And as I was going out and talking with teachers, and we had opened that up and said, you can talk to Dr. Kemp, you can talk to me, you can talk to us individually or together. That can be in person, it can be remote. If you want to write an email, I had a conversation with a teacher who was retiring and was asking for some input, and she'd said, oh, I really don't have any other input. We've already talked about those things, like through the listening tours and some actions that we had already taken. So she felt like that input had already been applied. But I just left the door open, as I do as often as I can, and just tell people constantly that door is always open to communication, that send us an email, send us something, that any communication, so we know what to do to improve. And so she actually sent a fairly lengthy email a week or so later, and many of the things that she had suggested were things that we were already doing. So it just helps us understand that how do we need to communicate about what we're doing. And so we have listening tours, but we're also looking at other opportunities to share that information. She also had great ideas that we were looking at as well. And I can say there is not one exit interview that I walk out of that somebody hasn't given a really good idea. As we were going through, and Dr. Kemp and I had several exit interviews, we had one exit interview where the teacher wanted to meet with the two of us and the principal, and that was such a great conversation. And that was a newer teacher. She was explaining why she was leaving. At that point, she was going back to work on her master's, and she was just talking about accountability. So a question that we had been, what had been the theme? And really throughout, the greatest theme that we had experienced was really about accountability. The teachers were really wanting principals to hold all staff accountable to the same high standards, and to students to the same high standards. The board approved our handbooks yesterday. We had some conversation during negotiations this year about holding teachers accountable, holding students accountable, but really that goes back to the handbooks. And so we've had great conversations with principals. We had our retreat a couple of weeks ago and really talked about what that means and then how are they supported, because they need to be supported as well. So we talked about, as a district, how can we support each other and work together, because we have amazing educators that are working really hard. How do we come together and hold those same high standards for everybody?
Dr. Allison Anderson Harder, USD 253 superintendent with us. We don't have much time left, and we've got still plenty to get to. When it comes to closing a school, that's about as extreme as it can possibly get. And obviously, you've done your homework, you and your staff, and you had to know if that option was put on the table, the overall reaction that you would get initially. So how did it come down to William Allen White? This is a possibility. This is a recommendation that we close this. I know it's something you took very seriously. How did it come to that?
And another layer on that is our bond. And so that was really, that could look like we are talking out of both sides of our mouth. So we had been looking at all of our buildings and looking at all of the enrollment. So that was a building that had decreasing enrollment when we looked at all of them, and looking at Logan and William Allen White as well. When there were some apartment buildings that were built off of commercial, there was a concern that there were going to be too many students from those apartment buildings that more than William Allen White could hold, and that just didn't come to fruition. So we continue to see that declining enrollment. We always look at also, like I said, our at-risk numbers, the needs of our students, the needs of our staff. It's important to know, you know, we love and care about our students. We love and care and value our teachers. We had to do something. We were actually looking at all kinds of options and looking at and one of those included looking at strategists, moving them back in the classroom. Yeah. But we were we had seen what COVID had done with our students and our achievement, and knowing that we have 1 year with every student, how could we maximize what is delivered to all students while minimizing disruption? So we really looked at the number of students, how we could support all of our families that are needy, our students that are needy, how do we help our staff? And being a building principal as well, you build a family in a building. So it was not easy. And I had talked previously, I'd heard stories from other superintendents like, oh, you don't ever want to close the school. Yeah. And we were not closing a school. We were pausing the operation. And with the hope that through our enrollment work, because that was the other part that we were doing, was our enrollment study committee, working on really studying enrollment. There had been a facility study that had been conducted before the bond. We really needed to look at enrollment. So we're continuing that work. Out of that conversation, our last conversation, the end of June, which was the same night as the ribbon cutting at Jones Early Childhood Development Center, that was a topic that came up, was if we paused the use of William Allen White, then so we looked at that. So that was another factor. And as we looked at the number of staff that we needed and this number of staff that we had available, as well as the number of students who could go to other buildings, it really fit well, because we had enough numbers to fill five schools and not put them over the limit, and then also the same with staff. But it just wasn't it wasn't the right. We had to put that out there. We had to look at that. Had we started with strategists, and that was something that I mentioned last Thursday at the special board meeting, had we started with strategists, I really believe that would have upset the community as a whole, because those strategists are serving some of our neediest students. And not only our students who have needs with reading skills and improving those, we also have needs of students who need more enrichment. So making sure that we are challenging them as well. And classroom teachers have a huge spectrum of skills and needs in their students. And so they do their best, but having that extra support.
What would the criteria have been for unpausing operations at William Allen White had the pause actually gone into effect?
Well, we would have continued our work full force on getting our enrollment up, because we really want six strong, thriving elementary schools. So we would, and we're working with a marketing company right now, looking at our website, how do we make it more accessible to parents, how do we recruit, all of those pieces. But then we also have the majority of that work is on enrollment. How do we really bring back enrollment even with that that factor of having smaller family sizes. But we also know that our community is expanding. We know that we have new housing that's coming in. If we can ever work through that, we know that our industries are really increasing. So getting prepared for that, and then also just really recruiting families that Emporia Public Schools is the right place to be and the place that they want to be.
Well, as the board mentioned during the meeting a couple of weeks ago, this all looked good on paper. You know, to pause, William Allen White, it all made sense. Numbers added up.
Logical sense, yeah.
But the impact to not only the students, their parents, and staff was overwhelming, you know, to keep William Allen White in play. Would you concur with that?
I would, and I would also just say that we didn't only look at that on paper. On paper, sure. I mean, we could sit and say that this is how it works, but we also have our own experience as parents and having our students, and they develop their own families and friends as well as our staff, because we knew that would be difficult. And that was never our intention. As we had listening tours, that was something that was brought up from staff, is if we're going to close William Allen White, can we just do that? And again, we talked about that if we paused the use of William Allen White, because again, that was never the intention, we did not see that happening. That was not going to happen. And that was the first thing that I said to staff. We wanted to talk to staff ahead of time. It was a very tricky situation with having a special board meeting, not getting ahead of the board members, not sharing out more information than what they had the opportunity to hear first. But we also wanted to talk to staff members. It was very delicate as well as far as what we could share out with families, because we didn't want them caught off guard as well. So we were sharing as much information as we could. And Ron, we mentioned right before this started about, I felt badly about on Tuesday when we were doing our showcase, I couldn't say anything. But at that time, we knew that we were planning on posting the special board meeting at 3:00 that day. But things could have changed. And we could have not had a special board meeting for whatever reason. So we also didn't want to get ahead again of the Board of Education as well.
Okay. Well, Superintendent Allison Anderson Harder, you got to, obviously there's a lot of work and several different paths ahead here when it comes to the enrollment side, the staffing side, the budget side. So looking forward to seeing how things unfold. And you have any other things that you need to have broadcast, please feel free to reach out.
Sure. The only other thing is where we're at now, just as where we're at. So we worked very closely. We immediately began work as soon as the board made their decision that on our next step, which working with strategists. So strategists had the opportunity to fill out a Google form. I mean, it has been a super tight timeline because we knew that people needed some time to think about it, but we also knew that strategists were already thinking about this. And they are valued as teachers, because that's important to communicate that we continue to value them. Our goal is to have one strategist in every building in addition to filling our classroom positions. So as of now, we have our positions filled. We have one special education teacher position at an elementary that we still need to fill, but we've been able to move people around, and they've been great. We've had retired teachers who have reached out, offered to make bulletin boards for teachers that are moving buildings. Teachers that are moving buildings have the opportunity to be paid for that time. We're offering up to 32 hours at extra duty rate to pack up and move, and then all administrators are helping out if they would like that help.
Okay.
A lot to do, short period of time.
Yes, but we've got a great team, and principals have been great about making sure that the staff members are feeling welcome and feeling part of the family. So it'll be a difficult transition, but we are focused on our kids, what is best for our students and their education. And then we also just love, care, and value our teachers. They are so important, and again, we have a great team. So I just appreciate everybody working with us and making it as positive and constructive a solution as possible.
Well, thank you for working with us here today.
Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate the invitation.
All right. It's 7:46 here on KVUE and KVUE.com. Superintendent Allison Anderson Harder, our newsmaker guest here today. Also want to let you know that coming up tomorrow here at 7:20, this will be after the Feel Good Friday segment and also our garage sale listings, we'll have Deb Crowell, Emporia Child Care, talking about her perspective about the child care situation with school starting in less than a month.
And our newsmaker brought to you this morning by MRSK Buildings. They construct all types of buildings, from shops and garages to equipment storage, livestock facilities, and barn homes. MRSK Buildings, where their business is your building. Call Jeff Hodges today, 340-7732. It is 7:46. Stay tuned. Weather next.
Join Newman Regional Health as they raise funds and celebrate their 13th annual Denim and Diamonds, Friday, August 5th at ESU's Webb Hall. Silent and live auctions, dinner, entertainment, and grand prize activities will all be a part of the evening as funds are raised for the purchase of a C-arm, a mobile X-ray device used to capture real-time imaging during surgical procedures. Tickets are on sale now. Call 620-341-7781 or visit newmanrh.org/DD for more information.
Value Them Both does not make abortion illegal and imposes safety standards on the practice. Value Them Both does not infringe on women's rights. It empowers women with the full knowledge of the procedure. Value Them Both does not create a new law regarding abortion. It upholds the laws of the Kansas legislature already passed.